You probably already have your Thanksgiving turkey. If not, you'll get it very soon and let it thaw out. You probably already have your vegetables and your desserts as well. But one thing you do not have is your Thanksgiving joke of the week. A man purchased a parrot. He brought the parrot home, and the parrot started using terrible language. I mean, just spoke and acted awful all the time. And the parrot even began criticizing the man's home. So the man picked up the parrot and threw the parrot into the freezer to teach him a lesson. And so the man's going through his house. He hears the parrot squawking and squawking and screaming in there for a while. And then all of a sudden, the parrot is quiet. Not a sound. So the man opens up the freezer door and the parrot walks out. His head is down. His wings are tucked in. He's shivering. And the parrot looks up at the man and says, "Sir, I apologize. I apologize for offending you and your home, and I humbly ask your forgiveness." And the man said, "Well, okay. All right, thank you. All right, I forgive you." And the parrot said, "If you don't mind me asking, what did the turkey do?" Would you say that you are a person who has more of a critical spirit or more of a happy spirit? Would you say that you're a person that tends to see the glass half full or half empty? Or are there days when you just want to throw the glass up against the wall? I saw it in Walmart the other day. One dad, happy to have his son with him. Another dad just fed up that his child was acting like a child. I saw two ladies examining shirts. One was happy because she found the shirt that she needed. The other lady was critical because she found a small imperfection. I saw two children eating grapes. One happy because they tasted good. The other one unhappy because they had seeds in them. Thanksgiving is based on an inner attitude of life. Life has a dim side and a bright side. We see exactly what we train ourselves to see. In the Old Testament, Psalms 105 and 106 and 107 all begin with the phrase, "Give thanks." The first 15 verses of Psalm 105 can also be found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. You know, our Thanksgiving is sort of like that. It's a time to review our history with God and with one another. And we recall the dim and the bright sides of this past year and perhaps for our existence. But I believe that we can agree. We are all have lots to be thankful for in America. So decide today, right now, to walk into this next week with happy hearts, with hearts that rejoice. Verse 2 says, "Tell of all of his wonderful acts. I thank God for the creative urge that he has put into men and to women, in medicine, in teaching, in transportation, in economics, in science, and in business." You know, we're never satisfied where we are, and that's a good thing. We're always improving our condition in life and helping one another. I would say this morning that our urge for improvement like that is what separates us from the beasts of the field. And don't forget the creativity of our children. When our daughter Julie was little, and she would come to me and say, "Read me a story," we would read the story, and then she would act out the parts. Our middle son, Jeremy, when we came to tell him a story, we would tell the story, and then he would say, "Now let me write you a story." And James, our oldest, would listen to the story and then draw a picture or two. All the wonderful acts that God does in and through us. And verse 3 says, "Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." There's a story of a husband and wife who were seeking the Lord, seeking his heart about something. They were encountering some conflict in their marriage. And, you know, we hear so much about that word conflict today, and it's all over the place. And, you know, too often we attribute too much negativity to the concept of conflict. Now, sometimes it's deserved. A lot of us don't like conflict. But, you know, the definition of conflict is this. It's two ideas in the same place at the same time. So I look at that and I say, well, that means that everybody's thinking. That means that everybody cares and everybody's invested. Well, anyway, there's this husband and wife, and they could not reconcile who would make the coffee each morning. They said, okay, we're going to think about it separately, then we're going to come back together and talk. And so they did that. They spent some time apart. They came back together, and the husband says, you know, honey says, I've asked the Lord, and, well, I just believe you should make the coffee. And the wife says, well, I've asked the Lord too, and I've searched his word, and he showed me in his word that it is your place. And the husband said, no way. And the wife said, way. And she opened up her Bible, and there it was, very clearly on the top of several pages, Hebrews. You know, another one of God's wonderful acts is his patience. His patience. A different couple was seeing a marriage counselor because their patience with each other was just sort of, you know, slowing down, and their love life also was in the slow lane. And so after listening to them, the counselor said, I think I know what your problem is. So the counselor asked them to stand up, and he went over to the man's wife, and he put his arms around her tight and gave her a great big kiss. And the husband just stood there. And the counselor said, hey, fella, that's what she's missing. She needs to be loved and romanced and feel loved. She needs time and warmth and hugs and kisses like this at least 3 times a week. And the husband said, well, I can bring her in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I mean, so many times we're just so slow to catch on, right? But thank God for his patience with us. And for the patience that he gives us so that we can be patient with others. And thank God this morning for whatever trial you're going through. Some of you have been going through some very difficult trials and circumstances this year. And for some of you, it's a more recent trial. And I want you to know that I realize that. As I say, let your hearts rejoice. In 1991, the actor Michael J. Fox was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He was so good, wasn't he, as Marty McFly in the Back to the Future trilogy. And I really liked him as Alex P. Keaton in the Family Ties sitcom. He was just 29 when he was diagnosed. His doctor said, you have 10 more years to work. Now, at that time, in 1991, 70% of all Parkinson's sufferers were over the age of 50. 70% over the age of 50. And Michael J. Fox was 29. And unfortunately, one of his first responses to that news was to increase his drinking to the point that he became an alcoholic. But the next year, in 1992, he gave up drinking on the spot. His denial and his depression that came from Parkinson's would last 7 years. Denied it for 7 years. Michael J. Fox wrote about how he gradually came to terms with his diagnosis. And in a more recent book, he wrote this. He wrote, if you made a deal with God that he would take away my Parkinson's and cancel out the last 10 years of my life, I would tell you to take a hike. My life is so good now. I'm helping a lot of people. I call them Parkies. I have a passion to help them cope with the stigma of this disease. And it makes me appreciate life as a precious gift. His books have inspired millions, and he's helped to raise many millions of dollars more for the foundation that's in his name that fights and defeats Parkinson's. His doctor told him in 1991 he had 10 more years to work, but he's worked 26. How will you thank God for the trial that you're going through? The Lord could have a new purpose for you, give you a new passion. Even if right now you're praying through clenched teeth, Lord, I hate this. I know there's a reason for this, but I choose to believe that there's a greater purpose that you have in mind. I choose to believe that there's a lesson to be learned here and a job to be done, so Lord, give me a new passion for life. Thank you for my situation. May your holy will be done through me. And then thank God for everything. The trials and the accomplishments. Thank God for everything you have. Thank God for everything that you are today. Mark Axelrod writes, "If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the 6 million who will not survive the week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation as a result of war, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you have food in the fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, then you are richer than 75% of the world. And if you have money in the bank, money in your wallet, spare change in a dish someplace, then you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. The greatest gift ever given is the gift of eternal life. John 6:47 says, "Whoever believes in me has eternal life." And that word believe can be rendered equally faithful as trusts. Whoever trusts in me has eternal life. Do you trust him today? With everything that has been, that is, and that will be, do you trust him? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, why not do it today? He has the power to give you a clean heart. He has the power to give you a new heart, a heart that's happy, and not a heart that's torn apart by all the things in your life or in this world. He can give you a new passion for living. He can give you a new purpose. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we gather in your name today. We know, Lord, that we don't deserve eternal life. But we believe, Lord, that you died for us and that you gave your life for us and that you have purchased a place in heaven for each one of us. Lord Jesus, come into my life and come into every life here today. Take control, Lord, where you need to take control. Save us for your kingdom. Father, we repent of our sins and we place our trust in you and in you alone for our salvation. And it's by grace through faith, Lord, that we accept the free gift of eternal life. Father, may this prayer find fruit and root in our hearts and in our lives for your glory. And help our hearts to rejoice. It's in your name we pray. Amen.